uncensored, no holds barred talk. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the Global Reality Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another live edition of the Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Excuse me for just 1 second. Jeez, I'm out of breath. I barely made it to air. I had a total meltdown over here. Spilled a bunch of crap on me, and then plugged my headphones, came unplugged, so I couldn't hear the feed or the startup music. I was just hoping it got tangled all around my chair. Fuck's sake. Anyway, I made it here. Thank God. All right. So how are you guys doing tonight? Live with you here tonight on this Moonbat edition of the broadcast. We've got a lot of news and information to cover with you here on the show tonight, and we'd love to hear from you as well. And emails, globalrealityshow@gmail.com. There we go. That's globalrealityshow@gmail.com. If you want to send in questions, comments, topics, any of that kind of thing into the email, that's how you can do that. So, man, I barely, it was like the music was like, it was about to drop and go, man, I'm out of breath. I don't know how I did that. It was superhuman strength because it was completely wrapped around the bottom of my chair and I knew the music was already going. So I spilled crap all over me, and then, oh, man. All right, but I made it. All right, so that's all that matters. Anyway, but, yeah, globalrealityshow@gmail.com. If you have questions you want to send in tonight, things you'd like to cover. I have a lot of interesting news stories here for you tonight, so we'll be getting into all of those. And this broadcast originates at the website, theglobalreality.com. It's www.theglobalreality.com. And there's also a chat room. How could I forget about that, right? There is a chat room connected to the broadcast as well. There's lots of moon bats hanging out in the chat room tonight. So definitely come in there and join the fellow moon bats and flap your wings and make mating sounds and whatever it is you do. Do it and do it in the chat room. So there you go. All righty. Let me see here. What do we want to get in here into tonight? We've been doing these Moonbat shows all the time lately. It's kind of a nice change of pace, to be honest with you. I've kind of actually enjoyed doing the late night shows consistently lately. I don't know what it is. I'm not sure what it is. There's just something dirty feeling about talking about this kind of shit before noon. Can't put my finger on it. Maybe it's because that time slot is already slimed by the likes of, Rush Limbaugh and Alex Jones and others. I think maybe that's what it is, but it's just something about it feels just dirty and greasy, and I feel like I need to shower between every commercial break when I do a show at that time of day. I don't know what it is. But when I'm doing a show at this time of day and this time of night or this time of morning or whatever, whatever it may be from your current perspective or current frame of mind. I don't know. It's a lot more chill. My energy's a lot higher. I just feel a lot more in the zone, I just feel like it's, you know, I guess it's the moon bad in me. I guess that's what it is, you know. I'm a Cancer, so I'm ruled by the moon. So there you go. That's we'll chalk it up to that, right? yeah. I mean, we should get real. I mean, I should just get this thing really moon baddie. We should, like, you know, to take the Toth deck out or something and start doing readings on air. That'd really get a moon baddie, wouldn't it? My goodness. On air readings now with Josh Reeves. That'd be really moon baddie. Let's see here. no, I don't think we get the full moon until Friday night, actually. If I'm not mistaken, the full moon is Friday night. Anyway, nonetheless, yeah, we'll just start doing tarot readings on air. $25 a pop. That's what we'll do to fund the films now. $25 a pop. You want a reading from Josh Reeves on air? $25. We'll read your tarot cards. I will read your tarot cards live on air. I'm really good, by the way. And that's how we'll do this from now on. How about that? Oh man, but no, anyway, glad you're with us tonight, and we'll be jumping right into some news. I don't have any emails immediately tonight. I don't have anything that is currently needing to be covered here from the email, but I did get some emails, and so if you have sent an email, I did read it, but I didn't get some of the things I got weren't in the realms of really questions. There were more comments and here's one. It says, hi Josh, precession is 25,920 years, not 3,600 years as per your last show. 3,600 is the supposed orbit of the planet Nibiru. Well, right, but there's 3,600 also, it has something to do with another cycle though that's not related to Nibiru. Because I've heard 3,600 pop up in mainstream scientific stuff. So if I'm not right about that, about the 3,600 year cycle of galactic alignment, which is what I was talking about, galactic alignment, then I don't know, because I wouldn't reference anything that had anything to do with Nibiru or Planet X, because I'm not one of those people that believes in that. I believe in the existence of Vulcan, which is another planet that gets no play or talked about or anything that actually causes the type of effects on Earth that people have described about Nibiru and Planet X. But nobody ever talks about that. But we have evidence they've sent probes out looking at it. I mean, my God, the Japanese last year sent out the Icarus probe to go and check that out. So, you know, I just find it interesting that we're given this red herring of Nibiru Planet X, and then we have this other thing over here that nobody ever talks about. And the reason they don't talk about it is because it doesn't fit into the whole 2012 time frame. 2013, 2014, 15, 16, sure. Those are dates where planet Earth is said to feel the effects of Vulcan, this other planet that's obscured by our sun that we can't see. But again, nobody ever talks about that, but they just hang on to this Nibiru and Planet X thing, and I think it's a red herring. But again, that's my opinion. So, but there is something with the 3,600 year cycle of something that doesn't necessarily have to do with just Nibiru. I know that for a fact. I'll have to look into that and reconfirm that, find that, and talk about it here on the air. But thanks so much to our listener for pointing that out to me. I wanted to address that. So let's jump into some news here tonight. There's some very interesting stories that I want to cover with you all. Science related stories, lots of those. Various political stories. Oh, here's an update. This is something we talked about extensively, so I'll cover this one. Update to the story of John P. Wheeler III, aka Jack Parsons Wheeler. Police in Delaware remained tight-lipped on Wednesday about why they returned to the home of John P. Wheeler III, the former Pentagon official whose body was found in a landfill on December 31st. Several officers from the Delaware city of Newark, The lead investigative force in the case went to the Newcastle home on Tuesday, said Lieutenant Mark Farrell. He said the search warrant was sealed and declined to provide any details. At this point, there are no suspects in the case and no crime scene, Farrell said. Police were hopeful that a $25,000 reward established by the Wheeler family would result in helpful information. A tip line that police established at the time of the disappearance has been silent, Farrell said. Wheeler's body was found in Wilmington's Cherry Island landfill on December 31st. A West Point graduate, blah, blah, blah. We know all about that. You know about him. We've talked about him extensively. Obviously, this is not a closed case. Some of the stuff we've talked about, this particular thing being connected to, was things like the missing nukes from back in 2007 that were flown across the United States, and then some of them came up missing. Subsequently, almost everybody who's been connected to that in any way, shape, or form, including Mr. Parsons Wheeler here, has been killed or suicided or whatever have you. So we'll continue to cover this and pay attention to it as details come out, because I think it's I think in the end we're going to find big connections to this. So there's huge connections to that whole thing, and we definitely want to stay paying attention to that. Let me see what else we have here. Futurist Ray Kurzweil isn't worried about climate change. This is from Mother Jones. We've talked extensively through the years about Mr. Kurzweil and his ideology called the singularity and the merging with machines and transhumanism. And Mr. Kurzweil says that he's not worried about global warming or not worried about climate change in general. And I love how he doesn't seek to, from my understanding here, we'll read the story, but from my understanding, he doesn't seek to try and talk about natural climate change that happens on the Earth in cycles. How many stories have we covered here in just the past few months on this show where, you know, new scientific studies come out where they do this, some new radiocarbon dating or something, and they come out with some piece of evidence that says, one we covered not too long ago in the time of dinosaurs, they died because of climate change and global warming. Well, you know, were there Humvees and big pickup trucks and everything driving around at the time of the dinosaurs? I don't think so, at least not to what we from what we understand at this point. But, Kurzweil doesn't go on to denounce that. He basically just says, oh, well, we'll all have solar power. But let's read the story. Author, inventor, and futurist Ray Kurzweil famously and accurately predicted that a computer would beat a man at chess by 1998, that technologies that helped spread information would accelerate the collapse of the Soviet Union, and that a worldwide communications network would emerge in the mid-1990s. Most of Kurzweil's prognostications are derived from his law of accelerating returns, the idea that information technologies progress exponentially, in part because each iteration is used to help build the next better, faster, cheaper one. In the case of computers, this is not just a theory, but an observable trend. Computer processing power has doubled every 2 years for nearly half a century. Kurzweil also believes that this theory can be applied to solar energy. As part of a panel convened by the National Association of Engineers, Kurzweil, together with Google co-founder Larry Page, concluded that solar energy technology is improving at such a rate that it will soon be able to compete with fossil fuels. Well, my God. Yeah, if you know so much about technology, Kurzweil, if you know everything about, when technology, he knew the internet was going to happen before, did he? Gee, I wonder how he knew that. I don't think this guy's an insider, do you? Oh, he knew that, a computer would beat a man at chess by 1998, and he just happens to be the guy that came up with transhumanism. Well, all right, Mr. Smarty Pants, you're able to predict all that. How come you're not telling us about free energies that we already know exist? We know there are free energy technologies right now, patents sitting there waiting to be built. And you know what? There are people out there that are going to start building this stuff, because the patents are there. You can go about the proper channels and get the stuff to build this stuff and start making and getting out there to the people. So, you know what? I say people start trying to do that. How come Kurzweil's not bringing that up? The fact of the matter is, Kurzweil will also tell you the singularity is going to come in 2035 or something. Like, I got news for you. It's going to be here pretty sooner than that. A lot of estimates are putting it here as soon as 2015. Because, and if you listen to some of the work of Robert Anton Wilson and some of the things he talked about with technology, and we played some of his recordings here the other night, and one of these recordings was from the early 90s, and he said that according to some scholar, that in 1993, technology was doubling and tripling every 18 months. That was 1993. Technology is doubling and tripling every day. But most of us are not ever allowed to see the results of that on a daily basis. Unless you work in computer industries or you work on the inside, you're not going to be privy to the fact that every single day and week and month that goes by, technology, because by the time it gets to you in your retail store, it's antiquated. I mean, by the time, I remember in 2004, building a computer and building whatever the top of the line computer was at that time, you know, and got the whatever the top of the line was, you know, got all the parts, got the processor and got the video card and the motherboard and everything, put all the stuff together, top of the line, overclocked, you know, ungodly amounts of RAM, just, you know, big gaming type machine. And I remember I got whatever the AMD processor was that came out at that time. I think it was the first generation of the 64 bits they came out with, like 2004. And I'll never forget it. I was putting it in the machine, putting it on the motherboard and setting it on the motherboard and about to put the thermal paste on top of it where the fan sits. And I looked down at the chip, and this was like 2004, 2005, something like that. And the copyright on the chip was 1999. And that's absolutely true because, I mean, yeah, they had that chip. It was copyrighted. They had it, and they did have it in 1999. We're probably using it. But in 2004, it was the top of the top of the top of the line that you could buy for any price in a store. So 5 years, I mean, that's what I'm saying. The stuff that we're getting retail, they've had at minimum, maybe even longer than that, but at minimum, they've been using it for 5 years. In some cases, probably longer. That's pretty astounding. So you can't believe anything that Ray Kurzweil or any of these clowns try to tell you about technology. That's real right there. That's why I can tell you from my personal experience, man. That's not just me, you know, theorizing on stuff. That stuff I can tell you from somebody, you know, I built a lot of computers, man. That's honest to God truth. It said 1999 on that damn chip, and it was top of the top of the top of the line, man. So, you know, so Kurzweil is essentially saying that, you know, he's not telling us anything about these other energy technologies that we know have been around for at least 100 years sitting on the shelf. And I think Kurzweil is I'm starting to figure him out a little bit more than I had before. I think he's, he's kind of like their, you know, their front man gatekeeper for the issue. The thing is, this stuff is not going to be for you and I. This is for them. So it's in their best interest for them to keep telling us that this stuff is years and years off in 2035 and 2045. It's not that far off, folks. And you're naive if you think that technology isn't exponentiating faster than that. It is exponentiating at a rate right now that is beyond, almost beyond their measure. You know, we've talked about the inevitable Pandora's box of technology. Especially in light of things we've discussed with Caesar 3, the supercomputer system. We have a lot of evidence to support the fact that a massive AI supercomputer system is running the show of all countries of the world and has been now for at least 10 years. And the way that you see the technology exponentiate, the way that you see wars based on resource wars. We talked about that a few years ago when the Army War College started coming out with, they came out with this big manual they put out about coming wars would be resource wars. And if human populations got in the way of those resource wars, that was an acceptable loss, collateral damage they were willing to accept. So what are all these resources going for? I mean, we're pumping millions and millions of cubic yards and billions of cubic feet of natural gas throughout the United States, which is not going on back into the market to the people that need natural gas in the United States. So where is it going? It's going to China. It's going to Russia. It's going to the people who we owe our debts to. It sure as hell isn't going to the people whose water it's polluting, whose land it's polluting. It's sure as hell not going to those people. I mean, my God, when they built, before they built HAARP in Gokona, Alaska, and the reason that they built the motherfucker there was because they had an unending supply of natural gas coming out of the mountain area there where HAARP is now located in Gokona, Alaska. And so when ARCO Oil had the patent for, they're the ones that came up with the HAARP technology. They came up to it for, came up with it for ground penetrating tomography to look for oil and natural gas. And so they determined that there was all this natural gas right there in the mountain region in Gokona, Alaska. So they decided to build HAARP there. And I read a story here on the show a couple of years ago about how the people that live around that area now, around where HAARP is located, and the people that live around within, I don't know, how many hundred-mile radius of there, those people are now having to have natural gas pumped in from an external source at a quadruple the price because they can't get natural gas around there now because it's all going to the HAARP facility. I mean, before, they didn't have anything to do with it. The people there had more than they could ever use. Now they have to pay quadruple the price to get it in because it's going to this weapon system. So I think that these resources, where are these resources going? If I mean, I grant you that some of it's going to China, yeah, but not all of it. I think a lot of it's going to power whatever this massive machine is. But Kurzweil, I mean, this article here, and I'll post it in the chat room for you guys to look at, because this article, more than any other article I've seen with Ray Kurzweil, to me, really shows his cards, because his arrogant attitude and his arrogant speak in this article about, you know, these technology, and that, as if we don't already know what technologies are already out there in the patent documents on the shelf. He is making an assumption that we are stupider than your average bear. You know, that we because most people are. But most people don't even know who the fuck Ray Kurzweil is anyway or care. But I'm still putting my money on it. I'm telling you, y'all mark it, it's gonna happen. He's gonna they're gonna roll Stevie Wonder and Ray Kurzweil out of the Grammys one day in the not too distant future, and he's gonna have the, you know, Stevie Wonder will have new robotic eyes and be able to see. It'll be all thanks to Kurzweil. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. It's funny that I said that long before I ever knew about Kurzweil and Stevie Wonder actually working together. It's funny. I did. I said that before that. And then I thought, oh my God, that's crazy. They actually did work together. It's Kurzweil synthesizers. There was some other thing that he made for sight-impaired people that Kurzweil had made. Yeah, he's worked extensively with Stevie Wonder. But anyway, yeah, there you go. There's the Kurzweil article there. Definitely check it out. I he's the big guy that's a proponent of this. He's taking life extension drugs. Kurzweil is. He's saying he's gonna see it. And that's the whole thing, is it's not for us, it's for them. And I think that's what the transhumanist thing ties in with this massive supercomputer idea, is that this thing's trying to amass an army. To wipe out anything that would be a threat to it, and anything that would be a threat to this thing would be us, carbon-based life forms. But you sell the people on this idea that merging with machines can save the planet because we won't use as many resources, then we can save ourselves from global warming. Well, you've just amassed yourself an army. A computer system has just amassed itself an army of transhumanist individuals. I mean, don't forget that Dr. John Dee, one of the greatest magicians ever to live, father of the Enochian magical system, he was an assistant to Queen Elizabeth, personal in-house astrologer. This guy this guy had to teach sailors maritime navigation that he obtained in a channeling session. And some of these entities he was channeling told him that there was an etherical barrier around planet Earth that was keeping humans trapped here. And in order to break free from it, we had to strip mine the Earth for resources to find this element called silicone, to which we would create technology to break free of this barrier around the Earth. Now, that to me sounds like transhumanist. That's why this whole transhumanist merging with the machines thing to me has always seemed like a Trojan horse. You know, who do we know who these things are that John Dee was channeling this information from? I mean, can you imagine John Dee going to Queen Elizabeth in the 17th century and say, "Oh, madam, we have to strip mine the Earth for resources, madam, and build these machines." I mean, they were getting things in these channelings that they didn't have any sort of reference for, that we have a lot of reference for now because technology has progressed to the point where we know what they're talking about. It's unbelievable. And that's what I've always thought. You know, if it is indeed true that John Dee was told this and went and reported this to Queen Elizabeth, then what we have here is definitely something that brings into question is who was he channeling? Who was this information coming from? And is with, you know, silicone, my goodness, that's what's created all this technology. How do we know this wasn't a Trojan horse telling us, oh yeah, well, man, tell him this, you know, this lie or some fucking story or, you know, appellation about we're trapped here if we don't build this technology. We build the technology and then it becomes a vehicle for these entities that exist in a different dimension to have physical bodies to come into our realm and take over. There's a lot of precedence for that statement, folks, that I just said. I mean, do your research. Read your, you know, your text and your religious text. There's a lot of precedence for that. And that's, you know, the transhumanists talk about being able to create a human body that is a machine that is accurate in every way to the human body, can recreate the human body in every way. What they cannot do is animate that body. They cannot figure out how to put an energy source into it to make it behave in the same way that a human does. They cannot give it a soul. But if you build these machines on behalf of these entities that have been channeled back to the days of John Dee 400 or 500 years, you know, telling you that you've got to build it so you can break free from the planet because you've been imprisoned here, we build it, then whoever these entities are come through on the other side and come in and inhabit and take over this realm. And more every day, I see more and more evidence that points in that direction. I mean, I've been going over this for time and time again, trying to find ways to discredit that statement. I don't want that to be true. But all I keep coming across are more things that reconfirm it. But again, you can't stop something you don't know about. So that's why we're here. I mean, that's why we should be here talking about it, you know? You know, that's the whole thing. Nobody, like I talked about last night, nobody's expecting you to go out and be a revolutionary and, you know, get pitchforks and rah. But, you know, all anybody's asking you to do is just pay attention and talk about this stuff and start conversations about it, you know? Get a dialogue going between the species here. That's all. I mean, that is bigger and can have more power, I think, than any of us know. Because at least then there are people talking about it as opposed to no one talking about it. You see, that's the importance of talking about any of this stuff. Be it the CMP or be it, you know, this technology stuff or transhumanism, whatever it is, whatever the topic may be. It's important that we are here talking about these things at all times and that all of you are out there talking about it so that there is some kind of a dialogue going. Before these people have had for way too long, they've had, you know, the ability to just go on about their business with nobody knowing what they're up to and nobody having conversations about this stuff. And that's what has allowed them to get as far as they have now. But if we continue to just push the conversation and push the dialogue, continue to push for more information, they're going to have to continually scramble and change their plan around the things that we find out. And when they do that, we see them do that, and we know that we've got them. And we've seen them do that a few times. I mean, it's unbelievable to me now to see, some of these Patriot shows and Truther shows changing their whole format around the things that I talk about and Lee talks about. I mean, it's other people too. There are more people talking about it now than there were than Jimmy and just Lee now, though. There's a lot more. But It is unbelievable to me. I've seen it, man. The day that I talked about the, I shit you not, this blew me away. The day I talked about, I made fun of Jones's. the day I made fun of Jones's V for Vendetta posters. Or his V posters, and I talked about it, the symbology of it. Shit you not, the next day there was a video out that somebody sent me or put in the chat room, and it was him on his show, and he was saying, "The detractors." Wait. Let me get the vocal effect right here.
The detractors. Punks would say that I'm using this for occult purposes. It's a V, folks. I'm trying to get you to take action. But you're just going to go to a FEMA camp, get raped by a pit bull, and there ain't going to be nothing I can do about it.
Oh, man. No, really, seriously, it was in like a day after I said, man, this dude's fast. He hit the archive fast. Well, he's like, he's coming out with videos answering to things that I talked about within a day after I talked about, wow. But yeah, I've noticed there's a... one of our, well, he's got people that monitor the show, monitor the chat room. If you don't know that, you need to know it. It's an absolute fact. I have the IP addresses to prove it. But yeah, there's constantly someone in Anon or someone in the chat at all times from, Minneapolis, Minnesota, St. Paul area where GCN is located. And there's constantly someone with that same IP address connected to my network. Cause now with the new streams that we got a while back, I actually can see more detailed information, so I can see what IPs are connected to what time. And that same IP that I've banned from the chat room, I've banned this IP from the chat room like 50 times, and he keeps coming back, jumping the IP ban. I reported him to the ISP, and I don't guess they're, oh, not the ISP, but Chitango, but I guess there's nothing to really do about it. Yeah, so just be aware that you might want to just say, you know, put a big fuck you and tell Jones to lick your ass or something in the chat room. Because maybe they'll get the message back to him. Oh, man. Yeah, we're getting moon baddie tonight, all right. We are going to take a break, come back, and when we get back from this break, we'll get into more news. GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. That's GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. If you want to send in a comment or a topic or something you want me to talk about tonight, GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. Stay with us.
I'm living my life like a good homo sapien. But all around me, everybody's multiplying, and they're walking around like flies, man. So I'm no better than the animals sitting in the cages in the zoo, man. Cause compared to the flowers and the birds and the trees, I am an ape, man. I think I'm so educated than them so civilized, cause I'm a strict vegetarian. Population and inflation and starvation and the crazy politicians. I don't feel safe in this world no more. I don't wanna die in a nuclear war. I wanna sail away to a distant shore and make like an ape man. I'm an ape man, I'm an ape man, no, oh, I'm an ape man. I'm a King Kong man, I'm a voodoo man.
I become one as the electrolysis, the bottomless, unlimited, boundless, endless, the unmanifested and illiterable, unponderable, indistinguishable, imperceivable, at least comprehensible to mortal comprehension, created in design, limitless within the instantaneous creation, out of triple stages of darkness, the undifferentiated emanation, beyond the experience of what human beings perceive as the five senses. I am what exists is on the other side of the periodical table of elements, existing as etherical duplicates, etherically spiraling within my double helix. It will take you blasphemous MCs, 1 millionth of a billionth of a team of neurologists that analyze the speed and velocity. We escape through a dreamscape, through escapism and sink within meditation and trapped in the deep sleep. We seek the afterlife, which is eternal life, through a dream sequence, and then we escape again through a dreamscape, through escapism and sink within meditation and trapped in the deep sleep. We seek the afterlife. Reverse the universe, disperse my particles at 33 nautical knots per hour. A solar powered yacht in a sun shower empowered the yang and the yin to begin to spin and form a double tetrahedron. I seen a sphinx breathing, standing next to heathens, devoured by seething locusts, ejected from the zenith. The body parts of God, Mother Earth received a penis, like Zeus to Venus, Osiris to Isis. One wire, two polarities, you couldn't splice this. Original right knowledge, try to rewrite this. You're forced to speak in tongues, farming away your heritage from. Begin to absorb anything above and under the sun. No other than one vanishing point, the all ill kaloom. Who tried to transform the title when they raided the tomb, invaded the womb? Spaded new the chosen children, they created a doom. For otherwise, immortal soldiers PG raided the moon. Through a dreamscape, through escapism and sink within meditation and trapped in a deep sleep. We seek the afterlife, which is eternal life, through a dream sequence, and then we escape again through a dreamscape, through escapism and sink within meditation and trapped in a deep sleep. We seek the afterlife.
As life began with one thing in mind, to be, and with this thought a thing became a name, impregnated and segregated by the will of who? The creative force, the source, the first, the nurse who gave rule of this side of the universe, the ray, making him the highest of sin. Thus things began to descend as cells and atoms split by the command of the unseen hand, the ray, who anointed and appointed Panum, the fashion of the clay, and Tamaray, who was the original vibration and creation of pulsation, accompanied by ray with Haika and Say and Tar, the tongue who brung the word to be heard as a verb, which occurred as Nunet and Nun, the chaotic waters who gave birth to Atum, later called the creator of this day. Atum was a part of a triad of Array, Atun, Atum, and Amun, three geneticists from Riz edifice. Atum presumed as the father of the sacred nine. In time, they became names explained as water, wind, earth, and sky, symbolically the most high. Shu Tefnut was the first birth of Atum. Shu was the wind that began to blow. The second was Tefnut Moisture, the voice of the body. Shu and Tefnut gave birth to their first son, Geb, called the Earth, who was alone on his throne, so he began to search. So Shu and Tefnut gave birth to Nut, symbolically the sky, the seven heavens that his so-called angels occupy. Re was symbolically the eye of the sky. Within an effort, Shu and Tefnut gave birth to Usir, Aset, Nefut, and Setuk. Setuk killed his brother Usir out of fear and jealousy and fatality. Setuk was the god of the light, jealous of his brother, because Usir was the god of the night, so they had a fight. Set cut Osiris's body up into 14 parts. They placed him in a sarcophagus down by the city of Heliopolis. Put his penis in a river bound by the deity Sebek. He the sacred scrolls of Kemet. Aset looked for her loving husband. She obtained his parts, just a heart and a dozen. Her and Nefut, her sister, went to look for the penis of his mister. They erected his physical cot, only performing the opening of the mouth ceremony. It was written on papyrus. They obtained the sperm of Osiris, who is now on earth called the highest and the wisest. We learn how the sperm was placed in the womb as set to give birth to a son. Osiris facets they used and abused. They named him Heru, while yet in the fatal, calling him Horus, who grew up and had a fight with his uncle in the forest. Set lost and was forced to give rule, and this is how it was recorded in the Tamarayan epistles, the crystal city visitors from Riz perimeters.
Escapism and sink within meditation.
meditation. Entrapped in a deep sleep, we seek the afterlife, which is eternal life through a dream sequence, and then we escape again through a dreamscape, through escapism and sink within meditation. Entrapped in a deep sleep, we seek the afterlife, which is eternal life through a dream sequence.
All right, back here with you on the Global Reality. Right here on the Global Reality Radio Network, I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thank you for being with us here tonight for this another Moonbat edition of the broadcast. And we got more news and information for you here tonight on the show. And comments, questions, topics, anything else, globalrealityshow@gmail.com. It's globalrealityshow@gmail.com. And yeah, absolutely. Somebody in the chat room there, Herbal Mistress, says, I think dogs can see energy bodies. Absolutely. Dogs have a wider vibratory spectrum that they can see. That's why dogs bark at go crazy over some people, and they don't go nuts or go crazy off of somebody else. They sense up on vibes, vibrations, mood output. Yeah, I mean it's another field of vision essentially that we don't currently believe that we have access to. See, I don't believe that we don't have access to those realms. I believe that we just don't allow ourselves to have access to those realms. I've gotten to the point where I've got mental telepathy with all the animals here at my house. My goodness. I could sit there and be just look at them. I'll look back them back to back, and we can look at each other, and I'll be like, "You're hungry," and walk over, and yeah, you know, or you need, you know, it's just you get a when you build a bond with something, you can start to exist in other planes of existence, and you can also start to exist in sort of your brain starts to function with their functioning. For instance, when you're around something that has those kind of traits, and I think all of us do, but I think animals are not, animals don't have culture and television and programming and indoctrination and school and all this stuff where their potential is limited. And that's really where all of our shortcomings in life come from, is because we've had our potential intentionally limited. And that's what the indoctrination, the school system is all about. That's what everything, culture, mass media, the Edward Bernays school of programming the ego self to believe that you have to have a particular topic, product to, fulfill your needs and make you feel whole as a person. I mean, it's that kind of stuff is what limits the abilities that we have. And those things limit us. And that's what that's how they've kept this thing. One of the ways they've kept this thing in place so long. Because if you limit our potential, you limit our potential to be a problem. You see? That's why there's the dumbing down. That's why there's the things in the food and the water that make us stupid. That's why there's the chemtrails. There's a reason for all of this stuff. And if it's true what they say about, these cycles of natural evolutions of the species, and I don't mean evolution in the way that they talk about it, but I mean, us becoming something more, what's the word I'm looking for? Something bigger and stronger and better than we are right now in the state that we are now, you know, accessing more parts of our brains. That's what I mean in terms of, us evolving into more advanced beings. And I think it's conclusive with the evidence that everything from the MSG to all the, all those excitotoxins, aspartame, fluoride, all the rest of it. And these things do keep us and keep our DNA restricted, keep us from evolving. It's just a fact. But anyway, I didn't mean to get sidetracked. I just saw somebody had posted that in the chat room there. But we got more news information to get into tonight. GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. That's GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. You can always hit the archives if you miss any of the shows and or if you come in late or anything. Manhydra, our webmasters, is pretty good about getting the shows up there pretty quickly. If they're not up there quickly, if you think there's a show and then there's not, or if you think there's a show and then you don't see an archive immediately, just check back, because, you know, sometimes stuff happens, or computers take a shit on you, or, you know, whatever have you. So so if you ever think that there's a show and you check and there's not an archive there, just keep checking back, because it may be updated later. But we get them up there pretty quickly. And with the new system that Manhydra got us on, thanks to him for getting us on the new archive system. If you've enjoyed being able to download the shows in a better way than you were previously from some of those file hosting sites we had, you have Manhydra to thank for that. He took care of that, handled that for us. So there you go. Again, please support us at the website, theglobalreality.com. The Chipping Banner is there for the bills for the month, and the donate button is there for the documentary films and the other things that we do. We always need more cash just to buy new equipment and more things to do bigger and better things. And we have been able to do get a couple of pieces of new equipment over the past few months. And those things have really facilitated us, pushing us forward in many ways with these films. So thank you so much to everybody out there who has donated over the past few months towards the films, and helped us get damn near done with this thing. And we're so close now. And it's pretty great. So we get some more support in there, we'll be able to get this thing done real quick. So any of that. So if you're a new listener and you're just coming in listening, because I've been getting a lot of new listeners lately, man, I tell you what, listenership lately has been crazy, and getting so many messages from people all over the world, Australia, New Zealand. I mean, just, you got people all Turkey. I mean, there's just people everywhere all over the world that are emailing me now. And so thanks to everybody. But that's what we do here. We don't have commercials, and we don't have ads. There's no ads on my website. You know, you're never going to try. Nobody's ever going to try to sell you anything here. And we hope that you will reciprocate that by donating and supporting to our work and what we do, because everything here comes from you. We don't have any outside sources of funding or anything else. So our survival is very dependent upon you, the listener. So thanks so much to everybody out there. And please use the Chipping Banner for bills only, and the donate button down at the bottom for larger amounts for films and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Let's go to the email questions tonight. We have one here from Nick in the chat room. He says, wondering if you could play May Brussels Radio Archives, maybe on the weekends like you do Bill Cooper. May Brussels. Not familiar with May Brussels, but I will check into that. On the subject, though, on the subject of Bill Cooper, I guess it was one night last week or one day last week, a couple of days. I can't remember what it was. It was recently. I had played the two shows. They're not in very good quality. They're hard to get in very good quality, but it was the two shows where Bill Cooper had on Aaron Russo, and just caught Aaron Russo in 18 fucking lies live on air, and just, you know, proceeds to flambaste him. Oh my God. With good reason, man. Cause he did catch him in a lie. But as he was ranting about this, I caught Cooper say something about somebody by the name of Jackie Petru, and you need to look into Jackie Petru. It was interesting, because I came up when I had never heard of this Jackie Petru character. And I said, well, let me check into it, see with what this is about. And so I looked it up. Lo and behold, you're not going to believe this. Apparently, this Jackie Petru character, who apparently Bill Cooper endorsed and was friends with, I don't know anything about this person. Apparently, this person... Well, I'll just read it. So this is from Jackie Petru's website, sweetliberty.org. It says, Petru's Council on Domestic Relations, CDR, exposes the Council for National Policy. Many of the CMP and the John Birch Society exposés posted on Petru's site were written by Barbara Aho. Most all the ones you see posted on, like, Vatican Assassin's website are from Barbara Aho. I had some ass clowns sending around emails a couple of weeks ago saying Josh Reeves, what was the word he used? Plagiarized Eric John Phelps in the Seagrave Volume 1. And I kind of scratched my head for a minute, and I'm not a supporter of Eric John Phelps, but nonetheless, regardless of whether I like him or he likes me, what I was confused about it was, if I ripped the guy off, why did he post my movie on his website? And not only that, the thing that they said that I ripped off from him was not from Eric John Phelps. Anyway, if you looked at the link actually went to Barbara Aho, who, yes, I've talked about many times. A lot of my research and a lot of the stuff that I've quoted from on the show and in the films came from Barbara Aho. I've been on the record about that a billion times. I just thought that was hilarious. I mean, my God, is that all you got? That's all you got. I mean, you know, I don't support Phelps and some of the stuff he says about, you know, segregation and Nazi type ideologies, white supremacist type ideologies. But, you know, I would be hard pressed to think that if I had somehow ripped him off or plagiarized him, that he would have posted my film. That's funny, man. You guys need some better ammo than that. But see, like I said, it never comes down to the information or anything else. But anyway, let me go back to this thing I was talking about. So I had Googled this Jackie Patru thing and says, Jackie Patru, apparently whoever this person was that Cooper was endorsing had been exposing the Council for National Policy. And I went, okay, wow. Well, that's, and see, I'd heard some stuff that Cooper had said. He never really fingered the CMP, but he fingered a lot of the people involved with it. But it says, but at the same time, on Patru's CDR page, she says that Barbara Aho is bad because she's, Jake Patru says that she is networking with the Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly, CMP, the John Birch Society, John Stormer, CMP, and the Christian Coalition, Pat Robertson, CMP. Patru links directly to these national organizations from this page. Schlafly contact for the state of Virginia is Helen Blackwell, who is wife of the CMP director, Morton Blackwell. Patru also links to DV Kids webpage, which in turn links to SCAFE-funded WorldNet Daily, Judicial Watch, and Insight Magazine, a Sung Young Moon-owned publication. DV Kidd is a close associate of Herb Titus, a member of the CMP. DV Kidd and Larry Beecraft of Larry Klayman is a Judicial Watch, started the Wallace Institute. Yeah, Larry Klayman, fuckers are all KKK. So he answers, or Barbara, he says, I understand your distrust of patriotic or conservative organizations. This is Jackie Patru, the person who Bill Cooper endorsed. This is their response to this. I understand your distrust of patriot or conservative organizations, individuals who speak with forked tongues. The page was first written in 1994 and was last updated in 98 or 99. I haven't read it since then, and I will see if I should edit portions or at least be more clear in the disclaimer pasted below, which you failed to mention in your piece. It says, your commentary say that I claimed we network with the Eagle Forum, John Birch Society, etc. What the piece actually states is that we network with members of these groups. This is quite a departure from working with the organizations or their leaders directly. Ah, so it's that whole, that's kind of the same thing Joan says, isn't it? Well, yeah, I'm not working with the group, but I just associate with people who are members. Uh-huh. But it's just weird that I Googled this person's name, Jackie Patru, just because Bill Cooper was endorsing it. And I was like, well, let me check this person out. I never heard of it. And it was kind of coincidental to me, even though nothing's a coincidence, that the first thing that pops up is this thing that relates to the CMP. I wasn't even looking for anything to CMP. So I see this as kind of a sign to something I'm supposed to be paying attention to that I'm not familiar with. And I am not familiar with what I'm reading to you right now. It says, I'm glad this was called to my attention and wish you had contacted me for clarification before you posted your note about the Sweet Liberty website. I hope you'll be as quick to either post my response or remove or edit your comments. It is true that we have networked with people in the organizations I mentioned. What I've learned is that the majority of people involved with the organizations don't have a clue what they're being led down the cow path to over a cliff by their trusted leaders. Yep, that's true, though. I've been there and done that myself. In 1993, when we were alerting people and state legislators to the dangers of the proposed CONCON resolutions in 12 states, simultaneously members of the phony conservative Christian conservative groups jumped in and joined in the effort. Ah, that's what they always do. Yep. Well, that's amazing. Yeah, maybe this person, Jake Patru, is actually a good person after all, because that's exactly what they do. As soon as you start getting ideology or something you're opposing, every time here comes the CMP types and they jump in and they become like the mouthpieces for it. Just like Jones did at that peaceful gun rally thing they had down there in Austin. Remember that video where he just comes in and starts COINTELPRO all over the place? I was still very naive and I knew nothing about controlled opposition. This was the beginning of my ongoing education. Ron Thomas, a networker in Indiana who volunteered to make twice weekly calls to state legislators, which hadn't yet introduced a resolution but were probable candidates, was a lifetime member of the John Birch Society. He was warned not to network with any other group and not to get involved in any other state issues outside of his own. He ignored them, traveled to New Jersey to testify against the resolution, and as a result, the John Birch Society powers that be canceled his membership and ejected him from the society. They later approached him and thought maybe they had been a bit hasty, offered to reinstate him, and told them to take a flying leap. You're undoubtedly aware that at the time, Ross Perot's UWSA was a fast-growing force in the political arena. I was intuitively aware that Perot was a phony and felt sorry for people who were taken in by him during the 92 presidential campaign, while I was being taken in by another phony candidate by the name of Beau Greitz. Beau Greitz was CMP as well, 33rd degree Freemason. After 9 months of long hours, yeah, who do you think they got to go get at Ruby Ridge? Who did they send in? Beau Greitz and our other CMP buddy, Jack McLam. After 9 months of long hours and thousands of dollars campaigning for him, I finally wised up and withdrew from the Greitz campaign after we got him on the ballot in Illinois. It was November 92 when many of us former Greitz supporters formed the CDR. Knowing the influence wielded by the UWSA, we urged our networkers to join UWSA, attend meetings, take information, and educate the members who are obviously as concerned about what's happening in America as the rest of us. We were alerted on Friday by Ron, the John Birch Society member from Indiana, that Illinois had a CONCON resolution that was to be heard the upcoming Monday. I spent the entire weekend calling and faxing people, contacting every group I could find in Illinois. We defeated the resolution. In the meantime, the UWSA person was educated about Ross Perot. She couldn't figure out why Dallas hadn't alerted them. She sincerely believed that Perot was a constitutional defender. We're presented with the transcripts of Perot's appearance on Larry King, Barbara Walters, and Phil Donahue, where he declared the need for a constitutional convention and bragged that my people could get it done in their sleep. She was infuriated. I credit her with the demise of Perot's influence over UWSA members, but being as naive as I was, I called Pat Robertson's headquarters and asked him to alert the Christian Coalition's members of the CONCON calls in their states. Naturally, they refused, too busy. They did, however, give me a few names of leaders in states that had pending resolutions and were assisted in those states by members of the Christian Coalition. She talks about other connections she's had with Phyllis Schlafly. It says that... So basically what she's saying here, she's going on and saying that basically the same thing that we already know. That, you know, ultimately... You know, every time they would start coming out and finding an issue, here would come these CMP types and they would, you know, take the bull by the horns and then ultimately steer the argument to how to fit their agenda. So my point of talking about this, because Nick brought up Bill Cooper there, and my point of talking about all this is that I find it highly interesting. I think Bill Cooper was on the verge of... figuring this thing out that I sort of figured out and then brought out in a large way back in 2007. I think he was right on the cusp of that. And it seems that a lot of these people, you know, because if this person, Jackie Petru here, that Cooper was endorsing on this show is a good person and has done good work and has exposed some of the CMP stuff like it claims that she has here, then how come we haven't heard a person like that ever on the Alex Jones show or some other Patriot show? It's funny. It seems that some of these people that Cooper used to endorse and have on all figured out the controlled opposition CMP angle. And you notice how when before Cooper was killed, he was starting to have his own sort of group of guests that would talk about different issues, one of which was the CMP and Greitz. He talked about Beau Greitz and talked about a lot of the phony Christians and people that were in the CMP without ever naming it. So it makes perfect sense that after the death of Cooper here, they push Jones to the forefront, and then Jones starts bringing on CMP members and CMP-approved members as his regular guests to make sure that the conversation always stays within these boundaries. And I think it definitely furthers the case of that, which we already know is true, but definitely furthers the case that that's indeed what they did. Because it seems to me that, you know, if some of these people that